إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد then to continue with Al-Aqidah Tahawiyya, with the explanation of the noble Sheikh Salih Al-Fawzan, Hafidhullah. Then the previous lesson that we had, the first lesson, we very briefly covered an introduction to the book and a biography of the author of the original treatise, Al-Tahawi. And amongst the points that we had were that Aqidah, which is the topic of the book, Aqidah is the whole foundation of the person's religion, or that Aqidah is the foundation of the person's whole religion, which is why it is so important that the person make sure he learns and corrects his aqidah, and that if it is faulty and shaky, then his whole religion will be upon a faulty basis. And we had the point that the companions radiallahu anhum were all upon the single and correct aqidah. Aqidah based upon the book and the sunnah, which they fully accepted. And that they passed this on to the next generation, the tabi'een, who passed it on to the next generation, and this continued throughout the ages to this age, and will continue until the last hour. And we had the point that deviant sects appeared who did not take their belief from the book and the sunnah, or who twisted the texts of the book and the sunnah. And when this happened, then the scholars of Islam, the famous a'immah, they began writing down the correct aqidah so that it would be preserved and passed on generation through generation and preserved from corruption. And one of those early imams was the author of this treatise, Al-Tahawi, Abu Ja'far Al-Tahawi rahimahullah. And we had the point that there is only one correct aqidah, therefore. Aqidah which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught to the companions and which they passed on. That is the only correct aqidah. And that there is no room in the affair of aqidah for personal ijtihad, personal striving to decide what is right and what is wrong. Rather, aqidah is a matter which is learnt and passed on. And there is only one, therefore, one correct aqidah, and every other belief, every other aqidah, every other creed is false and futile. And we had the point that Sheikh Fawzan brought, that this creed, as is contained here in the Aqidah Al-Tahawiyyah, it contains a refutation of those later people who claim to follow the early imams of Islam, amongst them Abu Hanifa. Those who claim these days that we are followers of Abu Hanifa. And they totally contradict him in matters of creed and belief, aqidah. So this claim of theirs is false. They claim to be following someone whom they are not actually following. Then with regard to this week, then we move on to point number two. The saying of At-Tahawi, rahimahullah, نقول في توحيد الله معتقدين بتوفيق الله إن الله واحد لا شريك له. He's saying, we say, with regard to the Tawheed of Allah, holding as our creed and belief, due to the tawfiq, due to the guidance to correctness granted by Allah, that Allah is one, having no partner. Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafidhullah, said in his explanation, he's saying, naqul, we say, meaning, na'taqid, we hold as our aqidah. You know, when he says, we say it, meaning we hold as our aqidah, our creed and belief, with regard to the tawheed of Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. Then he said, وَالتَّوْحِيدُ لُغَةً مَصْدَرُ وَحَّدَ إِذَا جَعَلَ الشَّيْءَ وَاحِدًا. He said, and tawheed, and Shaykh al-Fawzan gives a definition of tawheed. Of course, firstly, the language definition of the word, how the word is used in the Arabic language, and then how it is used in the Islamic legislation. So he said, so tawheed in the language is a noun from the verb wahhada, to mean making something one. To make something one, or to unify it. That's what tawheed means in the Arabic language, to make something one. Wa shar'an, and in the Islamic legislation, tawheed means ifradullahi subhanahu wa ta'ala bil ibadah wa tarku ibadati ma siwah. He said, and in the Islamic legislation, tawheed means singling out Allah, the Perfect and Most High, with worship, with ibadah, and avoiding the worship of everything else besides Him. Then, having given the definition, Shaykh al-Fawzan said, and moves on to explain the different categories of tawheed. He said, and its categories are three, as is discovered from study of the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he mentions the categories of tawheed are three, and how do we know that? How do we know that there are three categories of tawheed? From study, careful study of the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is what the position of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah is settled upon. So whoever increases a fourth category or a fifth category, then this is an addition which he himself has introduced. This person has just come from himself. Since the A'imma, the Imams, have categorized Tawheed into three categories, taking that from the Book and the Sunnah. So all the ayahs of the Quran and the Ahadith with regard to Aqeedah, they do not exit, or they do not go out from, these three categories. Any ayah or hadith which you find with regard to aqidah, then, or with regard to tawheed, it will fall into one of these three categories of tawheed. And then he mentions what we should already know. He says, the three categories. Firstly, the first category of tawheed is tawheed or rububiyyah, tawheed of lordship, which is the unity of Allah the Most High and singling Him out with regard to His actions. obviously these three categories of Tawheed, everyone should know them and everyone should know what they mean. And if they don't, then they should be learnt. He said the first one, the first category of Tawheed is Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, Tawheed of Lordship. And it is the unity of Allah the Most High and singling Him out with regard to His actions, such as Al-Khalq, creating, and Ar-Rizq, providing sustenance or providing provision, and Al-Ihya wal-Imata, and giving life and giving death, wa tadbir al-kawn, and controlling the creation. So he said, Tawheed of Lordship, Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, is the unity of Allah the Most High, and He's being singled out with regard to His actions, such as creating, giving provision, giving life, giving death, and controlling the creation. So there is no Rabb, there is no Lord besides Him, He, the Perfect and Most High, the Rabb, the Lord and Nurturer of the whole creation. So that's the first category of Tawheed, that we single out Allah and we believe that there is no Lord, no Creator, no Provider, no one who gives life, no one who gives death, no one who controls the creation, except for Allah. That is Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. And he said the second category of Tawheed is Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah. Or it can be called Tawheed al-Ibadah, the Tawheed of worship. Since the term al-Uluhiyyah means to worship Allah the Mighty and Majestic upon love of Him and fear of Him and having hope in Him and obeying His commands and avoiding what He has forbidden. So it is, meaning Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah, Tawheed of worship, it is to single out Allah the Most High with the actions of the servants, those things that He has legislated for them. So Shaykh al-Fawzan has made clear here the difference between the first two categories of Tawheed. Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, Tawheed of Allah's Lordship, is with regard to Allah's actions, the actions of Allah the Most High, that He is the one, the only one who creates and gives provision and gives life and gives death and controls. They are the actions of Allah the Most High, which only He does. Then the second category is Tawheed of worship. It's with regard to the actions of the people towards Allah, that they make their worship all of it for Allah. He said, so it is to single out Allah, Tawheed of worship is to single out Allah the Most High with the actions of the people, those actions that He has legislated for them. Then the third category of Tawheed is Tawheed al-Asma wa sifat, the Tawheed of Allah's names and attributes. And that is, and he defines that, huwa ithbatu ma athbatahu Allahu li nafsihi أو أثبته له رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم من الأسماء والصفات وتنزيهه عما نزه عنه نفسه عما نزه عنه نفسه ونزهه عنه رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم من العيوب والنقائص. He said, Tawheed of Allah's names and attributes is to affirm everything which Allah has affirmed for Himself, and everything which His Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, affirmed for Him, with regard to names and attributes, and to declare Him free, to declare Allah free, everything which He declared Himself to be free of. and which his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam declared him to be free of with regard to faults and deficiencies. So having quickly defined the three branches of Tawheed, the three categories of Tawheed, yarhamakallah, and Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so every ayah which speaks about the actions of Allah, then that is with regard to the Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. Every ayah which you find mentioning Allah's actions is about Tawheed of Lordship. And all the ayahs which speak about worship and contain a command for it and which call to it, then that is Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah, Tawheed of worship. And all the ayahs which speak about the names and attributes of Allah, the Mighty and Majestic, then that is Tawheed of Allah's names and attributes. And these are all the ayahs you will find about Tawheed. They'll fall into one of these three categories: the actions of Allah, the actions of His servants, meaning worship, or a mention of Allah's names and His attributes. Then he said, and as for these three categories, then what is desired from them is Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah, Tawheed of worship, since that is what the messengers called to, Tawheed of worship, and that is what the books came down with, and that is what jihad was established for, jihad in Allah's cause, so that Allah alone should be worshipped, and the worship of everything else besides Him should be left off, should be abandoned. And so the Tawheed that is required and desired is Tawheed of worship. And he said, and as for Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, Tawheed of Lordship, and from it comes Tawheed of Allah's names and attributes, then this was not denied by anyone from the creation. This was not denied by anyone from the creation. I mean, the war which came between the messengers and their people was with regard to Tawheed of worship. That's what the people opposed. So that is what is required. He said, but as for Tawheed of Allah's Lordship, and from it Allah's names and attributes, this was not denied by anyone from the creation. And Allah, the Perfect and Most High, has mentioned this in many ayahs. He mentioned that the kuffar, the unbelievers, they agreed that Allah is the creator and the provider, the one who gives life and gives death, the one who is in control of the affairs. They did not disagree about that. I mean, the earlier peoples, they did not disagree about Allah's lordship, Tawheed or Rububiyyah. They didn't disagree. Even the mushriks, they didn't disagree about that. So this type of Tawheed, meaning Tawheed of Lordship, if a person restricts himself to it alone, then that will not enter him into Islam. Since the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam fought against the people whilst they affirmed Tawheed of Allah's Lordship, and he declared their blood and their wealth to be lawful. Even though the mushriks in his time, they agreed that Allah was the Lord, the giver of life, the giver of death and life, the one in control of the affairs, the creator, the provider, they agreed with that. But that did not make the Muslims, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam still fought against them upon that. So that did not, their belief in Tawheed of Allah's Lordship did not make the Muslims. Then the Shaykh said, and if Tawheed of Allah's Lordship was sufficient, then the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam would not have fought against them. Indeed, there would have been no need to send the messengers. If belief that Allah is the sole Lord, sole creator, sole provider, the only giver of life and death, if that was enough to make people Muslims, then there would be no need to send any messengers to this earth, because the people already believe that. Shaykh al-Fawzan then said, so this shows that what is required and what is desired is Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah, Tawheed of worship. That is what is required. And as for Tawheed of lordship, then that is just an evidence for it and a sign for it. And therefore, when Allah commanded that He alone should be worshipped, He mentions the fact that He created the heavens and the earth. And He mentions that He, the Perfect, established the heavens and the earth. And that He establishes the affairs of His creation. He mentioned this as a proof for Tawheed of worship, and as a binding argument upon the unbelievers and the mushriks, those who already acknowledged His lordship but denied His sole right to worship. So Shaykh al-Fawzan here is making the point that all those ayahs, you see many places where there's an ayah where Allah mentions what He has done with regard to His actions, giving life and giving death and so on. He's mentioning that Allah does so in the Quran, to attach along with that and follow it with, or bring along with it, a command that He alone should be worshipped. So His mention of His lordship is used by Allah as a proof that therefore, because He is the only Lord, only provider, only creator, that therefore the people should only worship Him alone. So He uses His lordship as a proof for that which they denied, for proof of Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah, His sole right to worship. Then the Shaykh said, and when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to them, "Qulu la ilaha illallah," when he said to his people, say, none has the right to be worshipped except Allah, his people responded, "Aja'ala al-alihata ilahan wahida, inna hadha la shay'un ujab." Ayah 5 from Surah Sad. That when he said to them, say, La ilaha illallah, none has the right to be worshipped except Allah. I mean, his people, they understood. When he told them, say, La ilaha illallah, they understood what was being asked from them. They understood it. And they responded, has He made all the objects of worship a single one to be worshipped? Indeed, this is something very strange. And when he told them, they had to say and believe La ilaha illallah, they understood this meant worship of Allah alone. They understood that. Even the mushriks understood that's what it meant. I mean, they understood it was a demand for Tawheed of worship. And the Shaykh said, and He, the Perfect and Most High, said, وَإِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ وَإِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ اشْمَأَزَّتْ قُلُوبُ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْآخِرَةِ وَإِذَا ذُكِرَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ دُونِهِ إِذَا هُمْ يَسْتَبْشِرُونَ. Surah Az-Zumar, the 39th surah, ayah 45. With the explanation, and when Allah alone is mentioned, then the hearts of those who do not truly believe in the hereafter are filled with aversion. And when those whom they worship besides Him are mentioned, then they rejoice. And He, the Most High, said, إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا إِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ وَيَقُولُونَ أَإِنَّا لَتَارِكُوا آلِهَتِنَا لِشَاعِرٍ مَجْنُونَ. Surah Al-Saffat, the 37th surah, ayahs 35 to 36. With the explanation that what they used to do when it was said to them, La ilaha illallah, None has the right to be worshipped except Allah. When that was said to them, they became haughty and proud. And they said, are we to abandon the worship of our gods for a crazy poet? Again, Shaykh al-Fawzan is indicating with these ayahs that the people of Shirk, they understood when it was said to them, say la ilaha illallah, they understood what that meant. It meant abandoning the worship of all that they worshipped except Allah. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so they did not want Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah. They did not want Tawheed of worship. Rather, they wanted to have multiple objects of worship and that everyone could worship whatever he wanted. So this must be known. Since all the followers of the misguided sects of present times and old times, they concentrate solely upon Tawheed of Rububiyyah, Tawheed of Lordship. I mean, all the sects within this ummah, within this nation, from early times right to this time, all the deviant sects, they concentrate solely upon Tawheed of Lordship, something that has always been agreed upon by the people. Even the mushriks agreed with it. But the deviant sects, they concentrate solely upon it still even now. He said, and in their view, meaning the view of the deviant sects, if a person acknowledges that Allah is the creator and the provider, then they say about him, he is a Muslim. And they write their aqidah, they write their creed upon that basis. So all the creeds written by the mutakallimeen, the people of theological rhetoric, kalam, they do not exceed verification of Tawheed of Lordship and giving evidences for that. In all the deviant sects, all they concentrate upon with regard to Tawheed is just one thing, Tawheed of Lordship. They think that's the whole of Islam, just Tawheed of Allah's Lordship. The Shaykh said, but this is not enough. There must be Tawheed of worship, Al-Uluhiyyah. Allah the Most High said, وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا أَنِ اعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَاجْتَنِبُوا الطَّاغُوتِ. Surah Al-Nahl, the 16th surah, ayah 36. With the explanation, and we sent a messenger to every nation commanding, worship Allah alone and avoid all the false objects of worship. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, meaning commanding the people with the worship of Allah, which is Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah. I mean, that is what the messengers, all of them, commanded. They didn't come commanding what the people already agreed with, Tawheed of Allah's Lordship. All the messengers came commanding Tawheed of worship. Then the Shaykh al-Fawzan quotes the second ayah. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا نُوحِي إِلَيْهِ إِنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا فَاعْبُدُونَ. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا نُوحِي إِلَيْهِ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا فَاعْبُدُونَ. Surah Al-Anbiya, the 21st surah, ayah 25. With the explanation, and we did not send any messenger before you, except that we revealed to him that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah, none has the right to be worshipped except I, mean Allah, so therefore worship me alone. And the Shaykh quotes a third ayah, وَأْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا. Surah An-Nisa, the 4th surah, ayah 36. With the explanation, and worship Allah, and do not associate anything in worship along with him. And he said, so all of the ayahs command Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah. All of the ayahs command Tawheed of worship, and they invite to it. and all of the messengers, they called to Tawheed al-Uluhiyya, Tawheed of worship, and they commanded their nations with it, and they forbade them from shirk. So that is what is desired. That is the goal, and that is what is intended from Tawheed. Not Tawheed of lordship. That is already agreed upon by the people. That's not what is demanded from them. Then he said, and as for Tawheed of Allah's names and attributes, then this was only denied by the innovators, the Mubtadi'ah. Tawheed of Al-Asma wa Sifat, Tawheed of Allah's names and attributes, was denied only by the innovators from the Jahmiyya and the Mu'tazila and the Asha'ira, the Ash'aris, even though they each did so in varying degrees. So the Shaykh has made clear here, as for Tawheed al-Rububiyya, Tawheed of Lordship, then everyone, even the mushriks from the earliest times, they all agreed with Tawheed of Lordship. And as for Tawheed of Allah's names and attributes, then the only people who denied that is people from this ummah, innovators from this ummah, like the Jahmiyya and the Mu'tazila and the Ash'aris. And they varied in their levels of denial of it. Then he said, and his saying, the saying about Tahawi, Naqul, right at the start of point two, Naqul, we say. Meaning, when he says we say, what he means by that is we, the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the people of the Sunnah and the Jama'ah. We say, في توحيد الله معتقدين بتوفيق الله إن الله واحد لا شريك له. We say with regard to the Tawheed of Allah, holding as our aqeedah, our creed, due to Allah's tawfiq, due to Allah's granting correctness. We say that Allah is one, having no partner. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, the term aqeedah, creed, and the term tawheed have a single meaning. They mean the same thing. Aqeedah and Tawheed mean the same thing. So whether it is called Aqeedah, creed, or whether it is called Tawheed, or whether it is called Iman, true faith, then the meaning is one, even though the names differ. And his saying that we say that, بِتَوْفِيقِ اللَّهِ, we say that because of Allah's granting correctness. He explains why did At-Tahawi put this phrase in here, that we say this, بِتَوْفِيقِ اللَّهِ, we say it by Allah's grant of correctness. He said, because this is submission to Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. Saying it in this way, that why do we say that? Why do we say what we say, which is correct? Why do we say that, بِتَوْفِيقِ اللَّهِ, why do we say it? And mention that we say it because Allah has granted us success in that regard. He said, this is submission to Allah the Mighty and Majestic, and is humbling oneself before Allah, and is freeing oneself from claiming the strength to bring about change, or from power for oneself. So a person should not praise himself. Rather, instead, he says, by the tawfiq of Allah, by the success granted by Allah, بِمَشِيئَةِ اللَّهِ, by the will of Allah, بِحَوْلِ اللَّهِ, by Allah's bringing about change. This is the manner of the scholars, rahimahumullah. We say, this is our belief. How do we come to hold this belief? We come to hold it بِتَوْفِيقِ اللَّهِ, because Allah has granted us the success of holding that belief. Then he said that إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَاحِدٌ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ, that Allah is one, having no partner. He said this is Tawheed, that Allah is one in His Lordship, one in His worship, and one in His names and His attributes. And that's where Sheikh al-Fawzan ends explanation for that second point. And as for a further final point, then Sheikh Muhammad Nasiruddin al-Albani, rahimahullah, he adds the point here, connected to this last phrase, we say that إن الله واحد لا شريك له. We say that Allah is one. يا رحمك الله. لا شريك له. Having no partner. Sheikh Albani explains this last phrase when we say about Allah, لا شريك له. He has no partner. Sheikh Albani, رحمه الله, said, denial of any partner for Allah the Most High will not be complete except by negating, denying three types of shirk. I mean, to fulfill this phrase, that la sharika la, our saying that not Allah has no sharik, no partner, to fulfill that, it will not be fulfilled except by denying three types of shirk. Firstly, a shirk fi rububiyyah, by denying shirk in Allah's lordship. And then he explains what that means. What is shirk with regard to Allah's lordship? He said, which is to believe that there is another creator along with Allah, He the Perfect and Most High. As is the belief of the Majus, the Magians, those who say that evil has a creator besides Allah the Perfect. And this type of shirk means shirk with regard to Allah's lordship, believing there is another lord or another creator along with Allah. This type is something very rare in this ummah, and all praises for Allah. Even though the saying of the Mu'tazila is very close to it, they're saying that evil is the creation of the person. And this fact is indicated by the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, al-qadariyya majusu hadhi al-ummah. The qadariyya are the magians of this ummah. The hadith. And whoever heard the last khutbah that was given here, then this point was well explained here. This point that the saying of the qadariyya and the mu'tazila, some of them, that Allah is the creator of all things, except that with regard to man's actions, He creates His own actions. Then that is very close to the saying of the Magians, that there are two creators, a creator of good and a creator of evil. Then with regard to the second type of shirk, that has to be denied and negated to fulfill the saying that Allah has no partner, then Sheikh Albani said, it is shirk with regard to worship, which is that a person worships someone along with Allah, someone from the prophets or the righteous, such as calling upon them for relief and calling upon them at times of hardship and so on. And this, regretfully, is present a great deal in this ummah. I mean, this type of shirk is found a great deal in this ummah. And the major part of responsibility for it is borne by those sheikhs who support this type of shirk by giving it the name of tawassul, drawing closer to Allah, calling it by other than its name. I mean, this type of shirk, which is very widespread in this ummah, calling upon the people in the graves, calling upon the righteous who are dead and so on, Sheikh Albani mentions the major part of responsibility for that is those phony sheikhs who say that this is quite correct and this is tawassul, this is drawing close to Allah by them, by means of them. But in reality it is shirk. And he said, and the third type of shirk which must be rejected and negated is shirk with regard to Allah's attributes, which is that a person describes someone from the creation of Allah the Most High with some of the attributes which are particular to Allah the Mighty and Majestic, such as claiming that people have knowledge of the hidden and unseen. For example, and this type is widespread amongst many of the Sufis, in claiming that there are people who have knowledge of the hidden and unseen, which only Allah has. He said this is widespread amongst the Sufis and amongst those who are influenced by them. For example, those who praise the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with exaggerated praise, like the one who said about him in a line of poetry, فَإِنَّ مِنْ جُودِكَ الدُّنْيَا, that somebody said about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a line of poetry, they said, from your generosity, referring to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from your generosity came about the whole world and whatever it contains, and from your knowledge, again referring to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and from your knowledge is the knowledge of the preserved tablet, the Lawh al-Mahfuz, and the knowledge of everything the pen has written. I mean, a line of pure shirk here, claiming all this, that the whole world and whatever is in it came not from Allah's creation, but rather from the generosity of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that his knowledge, the knowledge of the pen, whatever the pen wrote, and whatever is in the preserved tablet, is just a part of the knowledge of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Shaykh said, so from this has come the misguidance of those Dajjals, those who claim that they see the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam today whilst they are awake, and that they ask him about things which are hidden, things about the secrets of the souls of people they associate with. Whereas the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he did not know such things even when he was alive. Rather, he was told to say, وَلَوْ كُنْتُ أَعْلَمُ الْغَيْبَ لَاسْتَكْثَرْتُ مِنَ الْخَيْرِ وَمَا مَسَّنِيَ السُّوءِ, Surah Al-A'raf, the 7th surah, ayah 188, with the explanation that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was told to say, if I knew the hidden and unseen, then I could have increased greatly in good, and harm would not have touched me. Shaykh al-Albani said, so how can he know that after his death? I mean, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't even know the hidden and unseen in his lifetime. So how can he know it after his death, and after he passed on to the highest company of angels? Then he finishes by saying, so these three types of shirk, whoever negates them, denies them from Allah in his tawheed of him, and he singles out Allah in his self and in his worship and in his attributes, then that person is the muwahhid. That is the person of tawheed, who is covered by the virtues particular to the people of tawheed. And whoever commits something from that shirk, then to him is directed the like of the saying of Allah the Most High, لَإِنْ أَشْرَكْتَ لَيَحْبَطَنَّ عَمَلُكَ وَلَتَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ, Surah Az-Zumar, the 39th surah, ayah 65. With the explanation, if you commit shirk, then all of your deeds will be rendered null and void, and you will be from the losers. Shaykh al-Albani said, so preserve this point, فَاحْفَظْ هَذَا فَإِنَّهُ أَهَمْ شَيْفِ الْأَقِيدَ, so preserve this point, because it is the most important thing in Aqidah. So there is no surprise in the fact that the author, rahimahullah, began with it. And whoever wishes to see further details, then let him refer back to the book and the books of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah and Ibn al-Qayyim and Ibn Abdul Wahhab and others, and those who followed upon their way. Alhamdulillah. And just very quickly to summarize, one of the brothers pointed out that it would be useful if we quickly summarize the points that came in the lesson, at the end of the lesson. So just very quickly, the points that we've just had summarized, we had firstly the definition of Tawheed, and this will make it easier for those who want to write notes, but they're not quite very fast at writing notes, then They can write them at the end here, inshallah. We had, firstly, the definition of Tawheed in the language and in the legislation. And the second point that we had was that the categories of Tawheed are three: Ar-Rububiyyah, Al-Uluhiyyah, and Al-Asma wa Sifat. The definitions of each. And thirdly, what is required and the main goal is Tawheed of worship. And fourthly, that denying any partner for Allah, this denial will not be complete except by denying three types of shirk: shirk in lordship, shirk in names and attributes, and shirk in worship. And Shaykh al-Albani gave examples for each of them. Shirk in lordship, for example, believing that there is another creator along with Allah. Shirk in worship, calling upon others besides Allah, from the righteous and the prophets and the like, calling upon them for help and aid and so on. And with regard to shirk in Allah's names and attributes, then describing people in the creation with characteristics of Allah. For example, knowledge, having knowledge of the unseen. So that's the end of the second point in this book. Alhamdulillah wa sallallahu ala Muhammad. Any points of clarification? No. Yeah. Surah Al-A'raf. Surah Al-A'raf, the seventh surah, ayah 188. Ayah that's a proof that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not know the unseen. None of the prophets knew the hidden and unseen. As for denial of Allah altogether, then this was something that's almost never been found amongst the people. A denial of the Creator altogether, that's something that's almost never been found. And it only existed amongst the people Ad-Duhriya. These people are mentioned in the Quran, people Ad-Duhriya, those who say, days and nights pass and nothing destroys us except time, meaning our time, you know, we live in a certain time, that time comes to an end and we die. Nobody gives us life, nobody gives us death. That's the saying of the Duhriya. And amongst them these days, the communists, atheist communists of these days. But they're a tiny, tiny minority amongst the people who actually say that, who actually come out and deny the Creator in the first place. Yeah, shirk with regard to Rububiyyah.
No. How do you explain Aqidah and Tawheed, do you want the same
thing? Yeah, what the Sheikh said, Sheikh al-Fawzan said, Al-Aqidah, what Tawheed, bima'na wahid. I mean, what's required from a person is one of the same, is Tawheed and Aqeedah. It's one of the same thing. Singling out Allah with regard to His worship and His names and attributes and His lordship, along with the details of that, it falls under Tawheed. And it's called Aqeedah, our Aqeedah, our belief. Normally, obviously, that Tawheed is used for that which is more general. Tawheed as is broken down here and mentioned, then Tawheed of worship, worshipping Allah alone and avoiding worship of everything besides Him, along with its details. And when the person's creed is mentioned in detailed points and broken down, that is normally termed aqeedah. Allahu a'lam. Allahu a'lam. But obviously, the whole of the aqeedah, the whole of our creed, is derived from qala Allah wa qala Rasuluh. The whole of the creed, for example, the whole of the creed contained, which is correct in this book, the whole of our creed is derived, as the Shaykh indicated last week, is derived either from an ayah of the Qur'an or from a hadith of the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Derives from our truth, our belief in the truthfulness of the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the truthfulness of our Lord, He the Exalted and Most High. We take it as creed and belief, because our Lord said such and such, and our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said such and such. So from our belief in Allah as our Lord, and our belief in the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as His Messenger, meaning our belief in the Shahada, from our belief in that, we take everything which Allah said, or everything which His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, we take it as being true. With regard to creed, so this whole is creed, we believe it because of where it's come from. No.
Are they atheists? Are they mushrik?
As for the atheists, al mulhideen, then they are people of kufr. And those who worship other things besides Allah, then they are mushriks, no doubt. Obviously, the atheists, for example, the communists, they end up worshiping and obeying to the level of worship. They end up doing that with regard to other than Allah, whether it's Karl Marx and his ideas or the like. They end up obeying to the level of worship other than Allah. Allahu a'lam beyond that. Obviously, with regard to a pure somebody who is an atheist, or somebody upon his tongue who is an atheist, then even the worst of the atheists, then in their heart, in their fitrah, it's installed in their fitrah, the belief in rububiyyah, belief in lordship, is instilled in their hearts, no matter how they try and cover it or deny it, it's in their heart. So the person's belief in rububiyyah, belief in Allah's lordship, should be revived in him, and then used as evidence for tawheed of Allah's right to worship. Allahu a'lam. And there are various arguments in the Quran in that regard. If the people really want to claim that, then how is it that the people are here? Are they the creators of themselves? Or what? You know, how did they get here? Did the people just appear from nothing, or are they themselves the creators of themselves? Obviously. So the affirmation of Allah's lordship should be gotten from them, and then from that built their affirmation that therefore, because Allah is the only Lord and creator of them, that He is the only one who deserves their worship. Allahu Akbar. أَخُلِقُوا مِنْ غَيْرِ شَيْءٍ أَمْ هُمُ الْخَالِقُونَ. Were they created from nothing? Or are they themselves, do they just appear from nothing? Or are they the creators of themselves? The ayah is an argument upon them. Obviously they can't say that we just popped up and appeared from nothing, which is what they try and say. Or they created themselves. It doesn't make any sense. Allahu Akbar.
سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.